jackal, was it?
Coyote.
It was a coyote?
Yeah, it was a coyote. And he went up on the hill, and he made a turn then, and he got about halfway up, he turned, and he came right down the old stand right where I was. You know where that Mount Home Green is up here? Well, that's just about where I was standing, when there are two big trees there. And he came from that brush up there, and right down through there, and I don't think he's in front of me, that door there. When he crawled through the fence to cross the road, I let him have it, and I got him right there. He rolled over right in the road. And while I come down from Garfield, he was slaying. And he looked at that coyote a little bit. He looked at that coyote a little bit and he said, did you shoot him? Yeah, I said, you'd have laughed if you'd been here a little while ago. I said, you know, he went right through there. There were men scattered here and he kept looking this way, looking, and he went right down through that bunch of women and they couldn't nobody shoot because they were shooting right in, dead. And he said, I said, they're about 50 feet apart when he went through. They just kept moving it up and hollering and yelling, open. About 100 people down there. And they finally come over, a whole bunch of them come up there, must be about 50 of them come up there and wanted to see that county. I, there he is, I said, laying right there, right down the road. And by golly, they walked over and they picked him up and they dragged him over where I was standing. Where was you? I was just where I was standing, right there. Where'd he come through? Right up there. You hit him as he comes through. Yes, he comes through the fence, and just as he got through the fence, I let him have it. And he jumped out into the road, and that was all with the snow on, too. Snow on. By God, they thought that was an awful shot. Man. I seen one time they coming down the hill like that, and they got dogs come behind, and he come like this, and he come on down here, and he must smell me. He started up the hill, and I threw the rifle up like that, and I banged and knocked him down right there. And he was jumping along, too, and boy, I hit him. Right through the ribs. Boy, he went down, kabang. Hounds came up there and on top of him, and they pulled him down into the road. And I went over and got him, threw him down there by the house, and they all started snuffing around, and my two dogs, they knew me, they come right to me, and I put the chains on them, tied them up right there. I waited for somebody else to start. And by golly, I know something, they just about an hour from that time, here come another one down the same old road. And he done the same damn thing as the other one. Just right down, he must have smelled me, the wind blowing. He smelled me, and he turned up the hill, and I got him down. Hounds all quit. I think Bernie, he come walking down, he come down there where I was, and he said, did you get them both out? Yes, I got them both. Well, yes, I told the boys, I said, when I met him up there, I bet Archer's down there in his old stand. He always killed one or two there. He killed two today. He got them both. They said, we're down there. He got them both. And I had them hanging up there in the old barn. And I said, where's Buster? Anybody know where he's at? No, they said, we don't know. Buster said, that spotted dog, yes. And then I heard him. He was up on the hill back at Sweet John's place. Boy, I said, he's up on the hill. Old Sweet John had a place that they thought he had. He just living on it. He's cutting the pine. He said he homesteaded it. When he died, why, they didn't pay no attention. They just went back to the government. They just took it just like it was. They never changed it. And he cut cedar. Boy, he cut a lot of stuff all that old 160 up there right in the timber. Well, he had a field up there about 8 acres. He seeded that. He'd plow it out in the fall, and then he'd seed it down oats in the spring, and he cut it for hay for his horses. And that's the way he made his living. And he got hurt one time, and he drawed a $40 pension for being hurt. And he's still drawing, and he drawed it up till he died. I know the county had to. The county had to pay to bury him. Pretty deep snow. That's taking it out here. Did you take that?
No. Sherry's friend took it. Another friend.
Oh, yeah.
Took it.
Yeah. he bought this and then another one there. And I don't know. The LG Teddy is up my knees. Stand right in that same place. Just about 30 feet from me, here in front of me. There was an opening there. I went back to the barn. And up, and the top broke off of that tree. It just broke off. And left about 20 feet of hole that big around. But the wind hit awful hard in there, and it's a big bushy tree, and it blowed it down. Broke it right off. And I was standing there back in some brush right here, and I heard old Bugle, that's what I called him, Bugle, he's my dog. And he quit the whole damn work to, if you run across a link or cat, bobcat, and he'd be working on it too. He'd be fetching him. And by God, first thing I heard him, he's up above old Sweet John's place, and he'd come right down the ridge, right down along the edge of the brush, come right down like this in here. I cut my old gun, I said, you son of a gun, if he fetches that, I don't know, he must be after a cat or bobcat, a link or bobcat. By golly, I know, he brought that right down, and he crossed the road right in 30 feet of me, and right up there, and he turned around, and he looked over this way, and he looked that way, and the wind was blowing due west, and it wasn't hitting him. And old Buster just come out in the opening. Boy, he was coming. And he turned around, he went up and sat right up in the top of that tree, right there, and 30 feet of me. And there he sat. And old Buster came a tearing up, he seen me, and he kind of stopped. And he looked up, and boy, he went to barking. Oh boy, he was just pawing that old tree, and barking and barking and barking. And I said, well, Buster, I'll shoot him for you. And I up and I knocked him out of the tree. He came down just punking that snow. Old Buster right on top of him. He dragged him out, and he dragged him about halfway over to me, hanging on to him. And I finally made him let loose. And I had him laying on a log right there by me. And the old Buster was sitting there beside him. I put a chain on him so he couldn't get away. And the hounds were still running. They were still going around and around and around. And finally they did hit this trail, and they come right back down. And I don't know what in the world, I guess this egg is smelly. Anyway, this guy come down here about 30 minutes of that table there when he turned and went up the hill, just like the rest of them. I threw the gun up like that and bang, down he went. And there's five hounds after him, my one dog, and I think he had two and I had two. And another neighbor up there, he had a dog, he'd always get in with him. I don't know if he was much of a dog, he'd bark, that's all. He never touched the cow, he never got near it. He just stopped right in the road and looked at the rest of them fighting him. They were fighting, and three dogs were just going after him. Boy, I held old Buster, I wouldn't let him in. And old Buster, he'd be running that whole bunch, and he's a fast dog, and he was fast. And I had them two dogs of mine, about the, and Dick and Link Burton, he had two. He had one named Dick. I'm like, boy, now I tell you, when they outrun them three, they had to be going. They had to be a head start when they started, and they were up there. And they're the damnedest dogs I ever seen. They was running that timber and up in that so much that they'd stop and listen, and then they'd take across. And the hounds would go up here, and they'd get away. Hell, they hit that trail way up there. Had a quarter of a mile, they had the rest of the hounds. Bad would they lace it to it then. Man, the three of them. Sometimes I have old Buster be with me, and I tie him up. And if he run across, it'll make a difference how many dogs there was in that bunch. We've had 30 dogs in that bunch, and then he'd quit. And the first thing I hear him barking. I said, old Buster's got a bobcat or a link, something. He's fetching this around. And the other dogs were going up towards Zimmerman's place and back around over the hill, back in there, back in Eric's place, and around and make a circle way up in there. If somebody didn't shoot him before he come back, I'd always get him right there in that same place. And old Buster quit. I said, Buster's quit to myself. By golly, where is he after now? No. Pretty soon I heard him barking. I knew what he had, just the way he was barking. Man, he was pacing that old cat around and around and around up there. By golly, pretty soon the old cat started down. You know that daggone cat stayed right in the road? He had to run up there, and he never left it. He came right down to me. Well, he was about 20 feet from me when I shot him with a rifle. And damn, he was coming. I stepped out like that, and I had to get out. I stepped out, and he looked at me, and I kind of braced himself to stop, and I let him have it. And I told him over the log, and then he came down, and he said, "What in thunder was Buster at?" And he looked. "Did you shoot him?" "Yes, I shot him right down the road." "By golly," I said, "I told the boys that old Buster was after something. There was about 20 dogs after this one collie."
What made Buster such a good dog? How did he get to be such a good dog?
Well, I only had the two of them. I had him alone first, and I'd run cats out. I'd take our old tomcat up there and turn him loose. He starts for home, and then after he run, Buster's running about a quarter of a mile, and then he'd take a tree. And I'd go down there and pet old Buster and stop him, and I would let him. He couldn't get up there. He couldn't dwell, no. And the old cat would be up there looking down at me, and finally I'd call the old cat down. I'd catch the old cat any place, call him down. I'd pet him. Old Buster's come around and smell the old cat, and he'd say, "Oh," I could just see him look at me and say, "Oh, shit. That's that old tomcat." Oh, boy, he would come down and say, "Did you get him, Art?" "Yeah, I got him." He just lived quite a mile from us. I think Merton did. And he'd come down, and he'd come over to my place, and I said, "You see that cowdy up there on the hill?" "He said, my gosh, yes," he said. I said, "How in the devil are you going to get to him?" "You haven't got your dogs." I said, "I'll tell you what you do. You take Buster and go around." I said, "The other dog will follow you. He'll follow you. You just need Buster." He went around the brush and around the fence and way around and come back up on the hill. And I stood right there along Dad's fence. The fence between the barn and the field. Right back in the barn, and finally I see the cow there was going. I didn't know where the hell he was. I was looking up there. And boy, old Buster, I heard him. And here he come. Man, and the other dog, both of them. Boy, were they coming. And he come right down that damn fence and right straight for me. I stood there and I sighted at that sound of a gun, I guess, for 10 or 15 seconds before I pulled the trigger. And down he went. And I think he come down over the hill, come down there. And by golly, Arch, he said, "That's one way of getting them hands." By golly, I said, "I got him." "You did get him, yes?" I said, "I got him, right here he is." "I'll be damned if you did. Was he running?" "No, he was flying." Wasn't hitting the ground until, boy, that son of a gun was coming. And I got about 10 seconds of time to come up on that hill, I sighted him like that. He comes down, bang. He's about 30 feet from me when I pulled the trigger. I used to be a fairly good shot with a rifle. I'd go to these sales they had around and had always come home with chickens or something. Yes, I had one old fellow that was hard to beat. I had to get down and shoot pretty good to beat him. I let him beat me a couple of times.
Who was he?
His name was Clawson, but he's not here. He went to Montana. And old man Clawson. And the boys, they couldn't shoot. There were three of them, and they was all up there to shoot, but they couldn't shoot. And he had an old muzzle loader. And damn thing, it shot a bullet as big as my finger, my thumb. And you load that old thing up with that bullet, and you ride down and take a bang away. And he'd have to always go in and measure to see who's closest. But I beat him several times. I was right in the down, right at the edge of the target.
What'd they use for a target?
Oh, they had papers all about this big square. And we had a box out there. And we had shoots there for 3 or 4 years. And that was about 6 feet of dirt here. So if you shot at the target, the bullet never go through it. It stopped. And it was all made out of 2x4s in the front and the back both, so that they try to check a bullet and they hit this dirt.
So sometimes he beat you and sometimes you beat him.
Yeah. He never beat. I remember one time he beat me twice. And I was shooting. Damn, he didn't beat me. And he said, one fellow said, you can't beat Archer. Yes, I said, I have beat him. Yes, I said, he has beat me. But I said, and I get right down to business on this, by hell, I said, he's not going to run away with it for nothing. He's got a suit. And I said, well, I quit. I'd go back and sit down and let him shoot. He'd take home 4 or 5 hens, chickens. Had a bunch of geese there one time, was down shooting at him. Cost you as 8 of us shot. You have 2 bits apiece to shoot. And I walked home with 4 of them geese. And he said, I'll be damned if it said if I know how in the hell you shoot and get in there like that. I see him measured out, telescope taken measured out, and set it on there, on the center, and measured it back. Damned if you wasn't right in there. He said you was right in there. And your bullet went through, and mine was in the paper. Well, they have different papers, you know, for everybody. Crossing, his name was on top of it, Crossing. And by golly, he lived there about a mile from us. I went over there one day and I had my rifle and I rode a cayuse over there. I had a cayuse that I was rode. Out and hunt. There's time up there, this place I always, my stand. I was up there one time, I killed a coyote. And all the dogs is. I had my 2 dogs. I never turned them loose. I didn't turn them loose after this coyote. The rest of it was running. Jack Burton, he had 8 hounds. Old Benson, he had 8. And he had his all in. Frank Burton, he had 2. And that was there were 16 hounds. The 2 men had 16 hounds, 8 hounds apiece. And then there were 2 more at 18. And another fellow came out. I don't know, he's over from Rock Creek, over on the other side of Potlatch. On this side of Potlatch, I mean. On Rock Creek, and he brought 3 over and he turned them in. Well, 21 hounds was running and I didn't turn mine loose. There was enough of them without mine. By golly, I know he got a coyote started. And boy, then they turned them all loose. Every damn one of them. Well, you know, you couldn't hear yourself think. On that road down there by Kislik, I was just lined with people. You had to be careful about shooting, too. And while you're shooting, by golly, you know, I took him way up on the hill and I had mine tied up and there was a whine and all, and I made them bay themselves several times. Told him to hush up, hush up, hush up. And they'd hush up a little bit and then finally get up and sit up and then praise your own bus, they go, woo! Nah, I told you to shut up. Why don't you keep still? He'd come down there pretty soon. Well, you know, it's about an hour's chase up on the mountain around the end there and come down, and finally he come down. He wanted to go back over towards Voss's place, over towards Zimmerman's and over in there. That's where his heads were. He come down on this old standing line. I was waiting. He said about 100 yards field right here, and he jumped out in that, and boy, was he pulling. Had about an inch of snow on, and man, was he coming. Yes, he was a-coming. And by golly, you know, I said, well, all them damn hounds behind him. Man, I've sung out there for miles, leading the lead. My hounds stood there, but he's in his tired box. You shut up, I said, I tell him, you shut up, man. I got over against the hound and I was waiting for him. I had a 30-30 Winchester, is what I was shooting. And by golly, he come down there, peeps sight on him. He come to that fence, and he had to jump. Oh, there must have been about that much snow when the wire was about this high from the ground. And he jumped through this fence. And just as he jumped through it, I let him have it. Boy, I got him right there, hanging right in the wire he was. John Benson is up the road, about 200 yards up that old road, goes by the Range Hall. Well, you know where one road turns west and one goes up on the hill? Well, he was right there. He said, come down. He said, why didn't you let the hounds catch him? They was gaining on him. Well, they caught him. They had a hell of a time getting him out of the fence, though, loose from that fence. They had him dragged over there about 30 feet from the fence, a whole bunch of them. And it was a damn thick there while fighting that old cow that they was walking on, trying to use his back. Get up to, trying to get down to him. John, he went over there and he said, oh, hell, let's let him tear him all to pieces. He said, he'll tear him all to pieces. Oh, I said, let him tear him. I'll get something on him. Well, by golly, I know my hound is right here. And he, I thought you had your hounds in there. Hell no, I said, I never had him in there at all. I tied him up right here and I said, left him right there. Well, you damned old cuss, he said, you. I said, I knew they'd picked him wrong. I knew where he was coming when I get down here. I said, he made one circle up on the hill on old Sweet John's place and back over the mountain, and he come down this other ridge. As soon as he started down that ridge, I said, I know exactly where he's going. He's coming right down here to me. And by golly, he did. He come out there, broke into McConnell's field, McConnell's place, and then he come right straight out, just over the ridge that was down here, to the road. And he just come down over that and down in this, come right down there, and he jumped through the fence, I let him have it. Man, oh man.
You had a favorite stand? You had your own stand you used to take a lot? One place?
I killed about 20 coyotes there.
How did you pick it? How did you decide that was a good place?
Well, the other hounds run through there, so damn much. Put him down there. There was no one, damn boy. I know, I said, I tell you just where you went. You know that old stand of mine? Went right through there. I bet you didn't miss that stand of mine 10 feet. Only when he used to say, well, he wasn't there this time, Archie. He didn't get down there. No, I said, I didn't make it. I didn't want to make it. My dog was running, I said. They was in the lead, too, by hell. Old Buster, I said, and Judy was both in the lead. Well, he had a pair of, he was Jip and Dick, they called them. And they were behind him, right behind him. My dog just got in the lead somewhere, both of them. Old Buster was pushing that cow right down through there. Nobody there. He went out up the road onto another 10 I went in there, and I shot one just about 2 hours before this happened. I was up there on the hill, and I shot him. And see nobody, I dragged the cowardly down. Well, we had Jap Burden's dogs in and Lynx and mine. Jap had 5 out that morning. He didn't take the 2 of them, but they left them home. Anyway, I had 5. Had about 9 dogs after him. And I was making plenty of racket. Well, guys, you know, he come down and I got him. I went over there and the hound, I got there just the hound did. They run, some run down the road about 10 feet before they stopped. And I went and got him at the tail and I dragged him behind the leg and I dragged him down. Boy, they went right on top of him. I let him fight him a little bit and then finally I dragged him down to the barn. Threw him in the barn there and I don't know, he just, old dog just left. They just pulled right back up this way and then the boys were scared. They knew where the men, where the boys were. And Jap says, I was pretty scouty right up here. He just come through here a while back. He told me afterwards. And he says, I caught 2 of them dogs and took them up there and turned them loose. And here come the whole damn works. I'm turning like to run over me. Hell, he says, I had to get behind the tree, get out of the road. Damn, what are they coming? And old Charlie Connell, he had a big greyhound. And damn if he wasn't in the bunch. He was running too. And boy, they took that down, went down, made a circle around, came around down there towards Zimmerman's place, and then they come back about an hour, and just about on that ridge right there, he crossed the road, went around two, went on the way over the mountain, and he made one circle around the mountain, and then he come back down, and he come right to me, with the old stand. Come down and he broke right to you.
Where was the stand? Where did you pick? Where was that stand at? What kind of spot was it?
You know where the Mountain Home Grange is?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I put that in there after we got done hunting.
That used to be your stand?
No, it used to be three or four trees sitting right next to the road there. And that's my, well, just a little bit south of that, where you go into the, in there, just a little bit south here, there was four or five big trees and leaves on them down about this low, hanging down. I get in there, brace myself, and a big old log in there, I sit on that. As he come, I see him coming across the flat, and I raise myself up, cock my old gun, get it ready, and I never missed one.
Well, why did they all go through there? Why do you think they all went through that spot?
Well, that was their runway. You see, you go up there on the last car, you go up there and see the tracks across, how they went across. Yeah. Them farmers out there, they lose a cow or a calf or a cow or a horse or something, and they'd be overeating on it. Then they'd go back, come down through there. They're always coming at night, though. When not the hounds after them, then they run D-times. Had to. Oh, boy. A little late burn these. And Jap, he made about one circle up there on the hill, and they come down. And till they come to me, they crossed up on the hill, an old road in there, an old log road, and they went down, and they crossed there. I heard a rifle go quack, you know. And it wasn't just about 5 minutes. I heard Daddy say, "You son of a bitch, don't eat him up. Don't eat him up, you son of a bitch." Oh, hell, I said, "That's Jap Burton. He got my cowdy. He's up there ahead of me, just up here on the hill." And just over the hill, about 100 yards, had an orchard up there. Had an orchard up there, and he'd all his fruit and stuff laying around in there.
They'd go for that, would they?
Yes, they'll eat that damn stuff. And that's where this cow is going across through, and Jap sees his track, and he turned him loose at him. And going all a little while before he got to shoot him. Oh, damn you, I said, that cow is coming right to me. Yes, he was. He's coming right back down this road. He got on the road right up there, and he stopped a little bit, and then finally trying to smelt down the ground, and looked and listened, and he jumped right down to me. I let him have it. One of them said, "I'm glad you got him."
You think they're pretty smart, the coyotes?
Yeah, right they are. I used to have one tame. Mother came out the damn door one time, and she came out and, she shouted. And he ran with his mouth right there, right about there. And I'd been petting him like that, and I had my hand laying down there like that. Just right against his mouth. And the son of a bitch, he bit me through there. He bit that finger there. Oh, and several scratches all over my foot loose. I just said, "Then he quit." I said, "What do you want?" He said, "That damn cow, they bit me." "And you hollered?" He said, "Why, did he sleep?" "Yes." I said, "He was asleep, and he woke up, and he grabbed me. Right there, laying right in his mouth." Well, I don't know, I had him tame, and he was loose. And I had put him in his pen. As soon as I was the only one that he'd have anything to do with. And how am I? I put him in my lap, and take him around, and show him, rub him, and just let somebody else rub him. Just that quick. Now, I don't know how in the hell he could tell.
Did you raise him from a pup?
Yes.
How'd you find him?
Found a nest. He came out of his nest and he came right up like that. He stood right there, looked at him, and I reached over and grabbed him by the back of the neck. And I said, run him, but he's about 10 years, 11 years old. He had a sack there, and I put that in by himself. He's a tame. And put him in that sack, tied it up. We had five in this other sack, all in there together. We got one more out of there. That's all you find. Oh, I used to get them damn cows in the hole, and I'd go down to the fence and cut a piece of wire, about 5 or 6 feet long. Wrap this end around a stick, about that long. Wrap it around and I'd shove that, work that wire down in there till I hit a coyote. And I started to pull him. Well, golly, I'd pull him right on out. And I had my coyote, put him in the sight.
What would you do with them then?
Them coyotes?
Yeah, the ones you got that way.
Oh, I'd take them down to the house and put them in a little pen I had there. They didn't try to dig out. And yet, I got, for them little ones, I didn't get very much. I got $1 apiece for the hides and $3 bounty. I had 7 and 8, Merton had 8, all big coyotes, and we sent them off together, both of us did. And I got $3 more for my coyote than Lincoln for his, when he had 8.
Where'd you send them to?
I wish I could remember. I gave one over there, he had the money, and that's where he stayed. By golly, you know. I said, well, then I got the money, $3 apiece for all of them. That's 8. That's, I had 7, he had 8. That's 15, that's 15 coyotes all together. Just the hides. And he, let's see, what did he do? I forget now how he took something off. He couldn't be sold again. I forget now just. Oh, that was, we take and kill them, and they was all alive when I got over there, all alive, and we took them out and killed them. And this one I said was a tame, and I had him home. And that summer, by golly, you know, he'd sit there and look at me, take the team out and go up in the field, sit there and look at me, and look like this, and be that team. One day I said, Mother, I said, will you come out here and watch my horses a minute? I'm going to take him with me. What are you doing? I said, I'm plowing on that black field over there. And he can sit up in my lap. And by golly, I know I got him up on that plow and I started up. And the plow was kind of was jumping on it. And he went up and he get to me and get a little closer. And finally, he licked up and licked me on the chin and he, you know, like this. And then finally he got over that. He didn't jump at all. He just turned it on my lap and laid right down in my lap. Oh, he was about that long and he was about that high. About that high.
Was he a pup yet?
Oh, yes, he's a pup yet. Sure. Up at that back of my house, I really have to this old house. I was up there and there's a bunch of timber up there. Mother says, you know, Archie, there's something that catches my chickens in the morning. There is, yep. Well, I said, I'll tell you, I'm going to get up and take the rifle out here about 4 o'clock. And then that little bunch of brush right up there, the willows and stuff, I'm going to get right behind that and squat down right there. The wind's blowing from the east a little bit, not much, I said. And, by golly, maybe I can get her. And she got a nest up there someplace. I never went up to look for it, but I know it's up there. And by golly, you know, she came out of the bush down there. She stopped and looked all around, looked all over. Came to smell along the ground, and finally she came over to the fence, and she came right up the fence. Right up to the same place where I tell you how the one was sitting up there and he came over and I shot him and I was up on the hill, just a little bunch of brush that I was behind there. And he came right up there. And I come to his butt, 30 feet from me when I pulled the trigger. And I got right in there and she was just walking and trotting along and walking and trotting along.
Was that your pet, Coyote?
Huh?
Was that your pet or was that another one?
That was another time. Another
that
time.
Wasn't your pet?
No. Oh, I had my pet up the house then, yes.
What happened to your pet?
I killed him. I had to go to Puddlet, and he got to be a pretty good sized dog. He was a dog. And I got there at 22 one day, and he was head to head, you know, looking out that other way through the fence. And I let him have right in the back of the head, and boy, he heard the racket, I guess, and that's all there was to it. And I walked over there and got him, took him down to the granary, and I skinned him out, saved him. I telescoped him, I pulled him all down, you know, pulled him down over the legs and all. Cut the legs off right in here someplace, the joint there. Left him on the hide. I don't know whether I got any more out of him or not, but I had five, and I think he had four, and we sent them both together. And I got $3 bounty, and they was paying $7 for a while, but they wasn't then. They'd come down a little bit. I think I got $5 apiece for him, bounty. But it's a hard proposition to skin them down like that.
Do you think you could train a coyote to be like a pet dog?
Oh, no. No. There's a damn full of hell at the young coyote that I don't think you'd train him to do it. He'd forget it. And after the cows one night, they was backing away from me, and I called them, and them penitents, so I said, well, you have to go get him, I guess. And he stood there and kind of looked at me and then had his tail up and just while I was thinking up like that. And he looked at me and he started ahead of me on the foot. By golly, well, I let him go. He was about 10 feet ahead of me, and I was walking behind him and was going over there and get them cows. Had three milk cows I had to get out of that bunch. And you know, I went down and got these two, and I started them up, and I had to go back and get a black one. Oh, she wasn't all black, she was some white one. Anyway, that little devil was barking at her, trying to get her to go. I got out of my steer. Oh, you little devil, he knows the cows, I said, the son of a gun. He knew that was the cow that I wanted, and he was barking at her. He wasn't barking, but he was bah, bah, that's about it. And, I went down there and she won't move for you, will she, boy? And he turned around and came, he wouldn't bag his way. He couldn't get him to wag the tail or nothing, just stick it up in the air and be up like this and hang it down like that. That's about all they'll do. And he looked at me and I went around the cow and I started her out and got her going over the other two and we took him on in. And that's the only time I ever seen him. Go to the herd and you down there and go to barking at a cow. He's barking at her head. Didn't hesitate enough to get behind her. He goes, bow, 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 bow. You know.
Well, did you kill him mostly for the money or did you kill him for the sport?
Sport. And nothing else to do in the wintertime. Got their wood all cut in the fall and everything was done, sitting around. I took my wife there, and one day she could walk pretty good. And she put on high rubbers and a pair of pants, and long legged pants, you know. I didn't many girls wear them days, but she put them on. And it was a little big before she sewed the coat down, the bib around in here, and put the suspenders up, and I raised them up for her. And she went with me. She said she was warm all the time, never got a bit cold. And I took her over to the stand where I had Jenna Yellum. And by golly, Link and I both went. And we got over there and there's another fellow, he came over to, oh God. He lived just up over the hill. He just go down below his house where they come through and right over. He said that, you come up there. I said, did you hear that shooting? Well, I thought I did. I thought I heard somebody shooting. Well, that was me. I shot three shots at that son of a bitch and never touched him. He didn't have the arm sighted on him right. He had sighted on me to kill him. Well, by golly, he said they're hard to kill. Yeah. Well, anyway, the dogs were chasing. They were after that same bunch. There were three in a bunch, but they stayed together. And when they got up on this hill, two of them broke off to the right up there. And the other one came down, they kept on coming. They were all after him. The two more dogs are from, I can't think of his name. He came in the night before and he was going to run cars with them that day. But they got in with our dogs, four of them, and they got two more, and six of them. And man, they could run. Boy, oh boy, them diamond four dogs come, six dogs coming down over that hill. And gee, man, talking about running, that damn coyote was running too. When he come down there in front of me, my wife was with me, and I said, he's coming right here. I'll try and hit him as he hits the road. And by golly, I had no idea. I just waited. He's about 3 feet of that table for me. And he jumped through that fence and he hit that road. I didn't have it. He never got out of the road. Right there. And, well, she said, you killed him. Sure, you did all you did that. I said, oh, I shot for it, kill him. Well, I don't know, she said. I said, good shot, wasn't it? Oh, yes, it was. She said, I don't know. Well, I went over and got it. I was coming down there, wallowed him around a while, and then quit. I got my two and tied him up. And I looked up on the hill, and here the old Link was coming. He was coming down. He'd been over on the other side, he was coming along the fence. And I said, well, the Link's coming. Well, tie up his two dogs too, and I don't know who these others are. There must be somebody. They got him up there someplace. I don't know who's there. Well, you know, he came down though, as far as he did, and I can't think of his name. Huh. I used to second on organ, the piano, whatever, and he'd have litter up to Deep Creek.
I know who you mean, but I can't think of his name either. I've heard about him.
Good fiddler. Fiddle? Man, damn, he could fiddle. And they had another man named John Dunlap. He was a Missourian. Boy, he could fiddle. And they bought Danny one right after the other, and then they had three, four more that wanted to fiddle. And I had the second with the whole works, all of them.
You had what?
I had the second on the organ for him. Oh, I never played hard enough to. They could all hear the violin. They hear the violin all the time. So that's what made it nice, too, up there in front. And they clapped their hands and hollered, give us another one, give us another one. Oh, I wasn't fiddling. I had to do as a fiddler did. And he said, oh, I'd like to, we'll try this and C or D or whatever he wanted. And, I don't know whether he a little bit, and I said, all right, let her go. And he zip, and I down the field and I went in. Right over here, right over. Oh, we had you say some old times up there. As in the old Deep Creek schoolhouse. It was full of people. And that was just over that way from the grades.
They'd be for dances.
Huh?
For dances. They'd dance.
Yeah.
Hey, was there much drinking at those dances? No?
We had those shirt-tail dances, lots of them. And boy, there once in a while, somebody fetched a couple. They never had a hall down there where I lived. The Woodman Hall, still there yet. They were over Fitz Leisner's place. You know where it is.
I think so.
And we had that new one. We had dances there 3 winters. And about every other Saturday. And then they had literally every night up there in the schoolhouse. And that damn schoolhouse would be jammed so damn full of people you can go home from and sit down. Yeah.
Did they come from Potlatch to go out there?
No, they're mostly all the timbers all around. Down to Farmington, Garfield, come from Plouse. Not very many. They always had something doing in Potlatch. Same thing. Once in a while, a fiddler would have to go over there. But they always had plenty of fiddlers, man, oh man. And Uncle has a soul in you. It's Phil. Oh, Mr. Ed. I know him. I used to second for him all the time. I was second a whole bunch. Eddie Beisiger.
Eddie Beisiger.
He used to second too. Charlie Beisiger, he used to second. That's his brother. He did now. Eddie, I guess, is the only one left, did he? I guess some of the girls left. Something like that. I don't know, I think so. Anyway, I'd say, Charles, come up here. Take this thing a little bit for a while. I'd have to go take a leak or something. He said, okay, and he sat down. And they didn't like him. The people didn't like him. He played a little too hard. They were too loud, you couldn't hear the violin very much. Oh, I'll play a little bit lighter and so they hear the violin too. Makes a lot of difference. Oh, they used to have them old congealed, man, oh man. Talk about playing. Oh, the whole like the same D down here, the fingers. Damn, they're pretty good at it too. Yeah, we used to have some good times. Always had good times. What's the women doing?
They're talking.
She's sitting down and stuff?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, just like I am with you.
Huh?
Just like I am with you. They're sitting down stuff too.
Yeah, I was a pretty well acquainted man all over the country. I always went and I always go. Charlie Crummell down there lived there on the flat, owned that big flat down there going to Garfield, you know.
Yeah.
And he had 8 hounds, and he had 2 that he never took out. They was males, females, I mean. And it was always a pup, and he never took them out. I had him one time, I laughed till I was sick. Now I was going home. I tried to tell Lake what I'd seen with that damn dog. And he said, did he knock someone, did he knock, oh, come, knock him down? Hell, I said, he went about 4 feet and landed about 6 foot of snow. And so, I said, you know, I was right behind him about 10 feet. I walked over there and got him out of the arm and pulled him around. He said, what son of a bitch hit me, you get up? I'll kill the son of a bitch soon as I get home, he said. He said, what? I was telling him, what the old trouble. He said, I'll kill that son of a bitch. Old big staghound was. Great big, hell, he stood this high not that long.
Well, what did he do? What did the staghound do?
Huh?
What did the hound do?
He was chasing the coyote. And they come right on this trail where old Charlie Crummell was. And on the trail up above, and they were taking that, and it was only about 30 feet apart. This way, where he went into this trail, where he went out of it, he must have seen Charlie and took up there, made a big long jump in the lot, and they were coming right down through this trail, and they run over Charlie. And old big, he went to go between Charlie's legs, and he just knocked old Charlie about, boy, he went from here to that. Right in that great big pile of snow. Well, I said, I left. I got straightened up and I turned around and I said, I got him by the arm and I pulled him out. I said, Charlie, come on. I said, Charlie, if I had a Kodak, I'd have stopped and taken your picture. You just a busting out of that snow. He said, I don't know about this. I'll shoot him as soon as I get home. Oh, I said, don't shoot the dog. Hell, he was right up with the rest of them, I tell you. He wasn't barking, but he was right with them. Damn, I bet you if you got to see it, he'd out on all of them.
How come all you had was 2 dogs and these other guys had more?
Hmm?
How come you only had 2 hounds and some of these guys had 5 and 6?
That was enough.
2 was enough for you?
Yeah, I got all I got in the country. I had them 2. I remember one time, you never seen our old place, did you?
Where was it?
Did you ever go down on that road around there towards Rones and down around that road and then go back into Big
Yeah, is that
Beef Place?
Who still lives out there in the
Beef Place? You leave the highway and come up here. Beef Place lives on the right hand side of the road, back in there. And after Higgins, he lives in the next house right on the corner. And you drive up the hill and down around, and Walt Kittlick used to live right in the next house.
Yeah.
And then Alice Waddell. They're all with it. They're all gone. Walter's lost his wife, and Elsie, they separated. And Alice and her man. Alice lost her man. And you go down the road there, and there's an old road breaks back in that Arbo place. It's about 200 yards back in there. There's nothing. Everything is tore out, all gone. There's nothing. And you go down a little further, and that's another house. That's where my brother lives, Vern Clark. He lives right there. He's dead now. He died here a month, 2 ago. Anyway, a month and a half ago, I guess. Anyway, that's where my brother lived. And you go on down to the corner down there, right? Instead of turning back to Rhodes' place up that way, you go on down to the corner, the sharp turn there. I used to live in that house there. I lived there 2 years in that place. Had my hounds over there, and they'd call me up. And damn cottage was howling here last night, Art. You coming over? Whereabouts are they now? Always, well, I don't know where they are now, but boy, they were sure howling here last night. That'd be them both farmers out in there. No, I think I'll go up the lake and go out the other way, up in the timber. And then there'll be 8, 10 of them farmers come. Old George Benson, he lived up on the hill there, and he had 9 hounds. And got 6 feet to feed him. He'd hear about an old cow or a horse or something died, he'd go and cut the damn thing in two, and tie it around the hind legs, and he'd drag it up to there. Towards it in his place, Peter's place, down below the house there. And I'd take the dogs down there and they'd eat on it, and then all the rest of them would go down. Soon we all soon have it pretty well cleaned up. Old boss, he lost one. They had an old barn there up on the hill. Oh well. When he come around that bend down there, you know where Brinkin lives?
Yeah.
Well, on the highway. I mean, stay on the highway and yeah. Around, come around and you come up a little hill there. And the cattle shoot through there. The cattle used to go back and forth. The boss had his, so he'd go back and forth. Anyway, they go down to the creek and get a drink. He had a fence around there, so they'd have to go back up in there. And by golly, you know, they people, they'd watch. And if I went, if they see me come across the hill, I'd stay down the wall, over on Walt Kittling's place pretty much, all the way from the brush. So I had dogs, and them dogs get behind the tree, I had to stop and back up and get him out of it, and I just came in out in the timber on the field and go through there. I had geese all over that damn country. I opened it up and set them up again. I don't know where the geese were. I'd go across and they'd watch. And then they'd phone to each other and tell me where I was going. And in pilot, hell, I'd get a bunch out of pilot. And then one day, and I was sitting right in this old stand I had there. I stayed that old stand for years, and I don't know where. I killed a lot of cows there. I killed 3 cows there one day. 3 of them. And them all in an old barn, waiting to skin out. I think he came over and he said, "You gonna skin them out tonight, Art?" "No," I said. "I think I'll tie them on Bill." As my saddle was Billy. And you'll wonder how I trained that dog. You'll wonder how I trained this damn horse. I'd take him up there and throw the lines of the reins up over a limb. He wouldn't pull them off. He'd hear me holler. And I'd be maybe a quarter mile from him, and I'd let a whoop out of me, and I'd say, "Hey, Bill!" And you know, pretty soon, I'd holler again. I waited about 2 minutes, and he'd nicker. I guess he's got me. He knows where I'm at. And he'd come to me. Yes. How the hell I trained that boy, I tell you, it was hard to say. And he come up through there, he come out through there, and the lane drain was short, and I'd snap him together and I'd hang over his neck, and I'd take him, throw him up over a limb or something. He never pulled him off. No, they'd be right there when I come back down to him. All he had to do was turn his head like that and they'd pull him off. He'd always be there waiting for me. And I called him a quarter of a mile and he'd come right up to me. Hey, Bill. As hard as I could yell. Pretty soon I said, whoopee, Bill. Like that. That was like that. He'd come. I first heard him nicker. And as soon as I heard him nicker, I knew he heard me. He's coming. He's coming to me. Now, how I trained that son of a bitch. I trained him, though. Oh, well, I'll tell you how I did that. He'd go out in the field, and I'd always have a pen there with some feet in it. And I'd go, hey, Bill, I said, if you go over the other end here. Pretty soon he come up on the hill, he stopped there and looked at me. Hey, Bill, I say, come on. By God, he come up and I give him his feet. Take it to this, the only one to do it. He just, and that's the way I got him in the brush. Then he have hard work getting that old saddle around two places. He come, get it. And I said, how in the world did you train that damn horse to come to you? Well, I tell you, I gave me a sword. I said, I used to go out there on the hill above the house, and I holler, Bill, and he'd be away on the other side. And I see almost half a mile from me. Pretty soon I'd see him walking out, looking. And I said, hey, Bill, come on. And that's all I had to say. He was coming. He felt good. He kicked up his heel another part or two, and here he's coming. Boy, I just come up there just to see him. Come right up to me on a run. Sometimes the other horse would pull him in, too. And I'd give him his feet. They'd all be around me wanting a little bit. I'd give him a little bit of this and a little bit of that and all of them. And he wanted that feed himself. He'd walk right around me if I used to get it.
I can see how you got him to come now, but how'd you get him to stay?
Huh?
How'd you get him to stay?
Stay?
Yeah.
There?
How'd you get him to stay with his reins thrown over a tree?
Oh, I just left him there. And walked away from him. And then another one there too, you know. Nicky and then Hibbsky was there too. He's a roan, a white face, and part of the tail is white. Says, oh, Bill never go bother her, and she never come around Bill. They'd always be separate, just stand there, look at you. And he'd stand there. I'd throw a blanket over his coat so he'd stay warm. Buckle it on his belly and around his weathers and then around his neck. Buckle it there and had a hole up here, let the blanket down through there. I let the blanket down through the, over the horn. So he couldn't lose it. Well, did you get done riding? Get everything you wanted? Thiever Falls, Minnesota, way up in front of Minnesota.
What was the trip out like? What was the trip out like?
What do we have?
No, what was it like?
Shipping out here? We had an old boxcar, Milwaukee boxcar, and we filled it up. Horses, cows, chickens, and all our bedding and everything like that from the house. And we crawled in there. And we're 11 days on the road coming to Thief River Falls, Minnesota, you hit Plouse. I got off the train that morning and I took the horses all out. We tore down the manger and everything, took the horses all out. And then we took the cows out first, and then we took the horses out. They're just a little pits off here. And laid them down, I fed them hay. We didn't have much hay left, so we bought out. And I fed the cows. And we left the stuff and tore the mangers all out and everything out of there. We get out. We got everything out, yes. And Dad says, we'll have to get that harness down. We had it hanging up over a bunch of chickens and stuff in there. And we had one colt with us, he's a year old. By golly, you know. Yes. Shiva, I meant, and she was a year old, almost. No, she was past a year old. We came out here in the fall. She was past a year old. We brought her with us. She was our pet. Oh, talk about a pet, boy, golly. If you'd seen me in that coat, you'd have laughed. You'd have said, how in the hell did you ever train her? Well, I trained her. I didn't have nothing else to do. Trained her. And I said, come on now and get around here. And I'd turn her loose. I stopped the old whip and she'd turn around and she'd kick up the heels at me and she'd turn right around and come on, get out of here, and boy, and I'd round you go, round and around and around, right in front of the house. And they did what they did, they'd all come out to the windows and look out. And around she'd go, and I'd whoop, hold on, come here. She stopped and come trotting right up to me, stopped down that pat her head. Ever just as a nice. Now I said, come on, let's go the other way. I did a little bit. I said, come on, get out, get out. And I had a blacksmith with a whip. And I snapped that, and boy, she'd turn around and kick up at me, and boy, away she'd go, round and round and round. And I thought she made four or five circles around. I said, okay, come on in. And she come right up to me. Well, she wasn't a year old when I first started that on her. I had a rope on it. I'd handle the rope and pull her in. Give her going, she just, oh, take her to death. And then finally I got to turn her loose. And the first time or two, she went to the barn on me. She said, oh, the hell of you, she said, I'm going to the barn. And she will go to the barn. I go down and get her, lead her back out, put the old rope on her, everything was fine. I had a hook like that, there was no place to fasten it here. I had that hooked in the halter, and I get her going around and around and around. Finally, I get that, I picked like an arm, hook it and drop it down. And she just keep on going, going around and around and around. Blah, blah, blah. Whoop, come on, that's good enough, come in here. And she'd come in to me. I hooked that on and everything was fine. I started the other way then.